Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into something that's critical for long-term financial health: navigating the really complicated world of gold IRA companies.
It is complicated.
Absolutely. You've given us a huge stack of expert analysis, comparison ratings, the works. I mean, this research covers over 80 companies going all the way back to 2011.
Right.
So our mission today is to boil all of that down, to pull out the essential knowledge you need to, you know, make a really competent decision about safeguarding your retirement.
And it's high stakes stuff. I mean, yeah. When you're talking about retirement funds, especially trying to protect against economic uncertainty, choosing the right provider, it's just the most important step.
Okay, so let's start with the absolute foundation. Before we even get into comparing company A versus company B, we have to talk about the two critical roles involved. People get these confused all the time.
They do, It's the number one source of confusion. You have the gold IRA company on one hand, and then you have the custodian.
Right.
Think of the gold IRA company as your guide, your concierge. They're the ones doing the paperwork for the account setup, advising you on which gold or silver is IRA eligible, and then coordinating all the logistics.
So they're the people you're actually talking to on the phone, the sales and education side.
Exactly. They are the relationship. The custodian, on the other hand, is, well, they're kind of behind the scenes. They have to be an IRS-approved financial institution.
So like a bank or a trust company?
Precisely. They are the legal administrator. Their job is security, compliance, and all the IRS reporting. They're the ones who actually make sure your gold is physically safe in a vault somewhere. And this is crucial. They do not sell you gold.
That's a key distinction. So one is the advisor, the other is the legal administrator. That split really clarifies the whole compliance structure.
It has to be that way. The sources lay out, you know, a six-step process, and that compliance piece is built in right from the very beginning.
And part of that is the storage, right? You can't just take the gold home.
Oh, absolutely not. That's a huge point. The investor is strictly prohibited from taking physical possession. The moment you do, it disqualifies the IRA's tax status completely. The custodian arranges for it to be held in a secure IRS-approved depository. That is mandatory.
Got it. Okay, that makes the logistics much clearer. So now, how do we separate the good companies from the bad ones? The sources you shared filtered through, what, over 80 companies?
Yeah, quite a few. And the analyst, Doug Young, used a really rigorous methodology to do it.
What were the criteria? I mean, what created that firewall of trust?
He focused on five very specific pillars. And these aren't just, you know, subjective feelings. They're measurable standards that point to a company's stability and integrity.
Okay, so what's number one?
The first, and it's the most basic, is reputation and accreditation. So looking for top ratings from the Better Business Bureau, the Business Consumer Alliance, and just as important, a really clean, minimal complaint history.
So a long track record with happy customers.
A company that's been around since, say, 2011 with almost no complaints. That's a massive signal of trustworthiness.
Okay, that's the baseline. What's the second criterion?
Regulatory compliance. This one's completely non-negotiable. It means they follow every single IRS rule, they have the right licenses, they have verifiable partnerships with custodians, and they only sell precious metals that meet the IRS purity standards.
Right, because not all gold coins are eligible.
Not at all. If they sell you the wrong thing, your whole investment is basically a liability.
Okay, and the third one has to be about money. The cost.
Transparent fee structures. Exactly. Yeah. The analysis really prioritized companies that were just upfront about every single cost. Setup fees, annual fees, storage fees.
What's the typical range for storage, by the way?
It usually runs from about $100 to maybe $180 per year. But the key thing the sources preferred, and this is important, was flat rate fees.
Flat rate fees? Why is that structure so much better for an investor?
Well, it's about predictability and scale. If you have a large portfolio, say $500,000 in metals, a fee based on a percentage of that can really start to eat away at your returns, especially as the value grows.
I see.
But if you're just paying a flat, say $250 a year, whether you have $100,000 or $1 million in there, your costs are fixed. Your net return is protected. It signals the company wants a long-term relationship, not just to, you know, squeeze value out of your growing assets.
That makes a ton of sense. Okay, what about number four, the customer experience?
Customer support and education. The top companies, they have to provide real investor education, not just a brochure. They offer one-on-one consultations and, importantly, lifetime client support. It's a world away from the high-pressure sales tactics you see elsewhere.
Building a relationship, not just making a sale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the fifth and final one just circles right back to the physical safety of the metal.
Secure storage compliance.
Yep. The company has to be partnered with IRS-approved depositories. These places have full insurance. They get regular third-party audits. But there's a term here we need to clarify.
Let me guess. Segregated storage.
That's the one. It came up again and again.
So what does that actually mean for me as an investor? Is my gold bar sitting there with my name on it?
That's pretty much it. With non-segregated, your metals are sort of pooled with everyone else's. You own a proportional value. But with segregated storage, the specific bars or coins that you bought are put aside in their own space, uniquely identified. It's yours and yours alone.
So it's the highest level of assurance, but I'm guessing it costs a little more.
Usually, yeah. A bit more annually, but it guarantees the unique identity of your holding.
Okay, so this brings up another big question. Before we get to the top companies, what kinds of gold IRAs are there? I mean, the tax implications must be totally different depending on the account.
Oh, huge difference. And it's a critical planning point. You've got three main types. First is the traditional gold IRA. That's funded with pre-tax money. So your contributions are tax deductible now, it grows tax deferred, and you pay income tax when you take the money out in retirement.
So that's best if you think you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you retire.
Correct. Then you have the flip side, the Roth gold IRA.
Funded with after-tax money.
Exactly. You don't get the tax break now, but the big prize is that your qualified withdrawals in retirement are 100% tax-free, and there are no required minimum distributions.
So the Roth is for people who think their income or tax rates in general are going to be higher down the road.
That's the ideal use case. And then the third one is the SEP Gold IRA.
That's for who?
The self-employed and small business owners. Its big advantage is much, much higher contribution limits. The tax treatment, though, is basically the same as traditional IRA.
Okay, so we've got the rules, the role, the tax options. Now for the main event. Let's see who actually came out on top in this analysis. Who's number one?
The clear winner, according to the research, was Augusta Precious Metals. They've picked up a lot of accolades, like being named Best Overall Gold IRA Company by Money Magazine for, what, 3 years running now?
3 years in a row. So what makes them so special? What are the differentiators?
It really comes down to this kind of white glove personalized service. Their unique thing is lifetime account support and these private one-on-one web conferences with their Harvard-trained economist, Devlin Steele.
The Harvard-trained economist.
Yeah, their commitment to pure client education is it's just unmatched. Plus, they have perfect A-plus and AAA ratings with literally zero complaints since they were founded.
Wow. Zero complaints is impressive. But the sources mentioned a pretty significant barrier to entry, didn't they?
They did. Augusta has a high minimum investment of $50,000.
$50,000, okay.
And that's the trade-off. They can offer that premium economist-led service because they're dealing with clients who have more capital. Mm. It lets them keep a really low client-to-advisor ratio.
So the high minimum actually pays for that superior service model. What about their fees?
Very transparent. It's a $50 one-time application fee, $125 for the annual custodian fee, and then $100 or $150 for storage, depending on if you choose segregated.
And they have that incentive, right?
A huge one. For qualifying clients, they'll cover all your annual fees for up to 10 years, which, I mean, that can save you thousands over a decade.
Okay, let's move on to number two, Goldco. They were named best for minimum investment, so a totally different target audience.
Completely different. Goldco is for a much broader group of investors because they have no published minimum investment.
No minimum.
Right. And they're really known for making the rollover process seamless. Plus, they offer an exceptional guaranteed buyback program.
But I have to ask, one of the key criteria was transparent fees. The research notes that Goldco doesn't really publish their fees online. You have to call them. Doesn't that kind of go against the whole transparency thing?
That is a really sharp observation, and it highlights the trade-offs. The analysts still rate them very highly for their service and that buyback guarantee. But yes, the lack of published pricing is a sticking point.
So what's their thinking?
It seems they prioritize getting a potential client on the phone to give them a tailored quote rather than just putting a price list online. It just means for you, the investor, you have to do a little more work to compare their quote against, say, Augusta's published fees.
Got it. Okay, and finally, number three, American Hartford Gold, or AHG, they're best for flexible product offerings.
Right. AHG has seen just explosive growth. They kind of sit in the middle ground. Their IRA minimum is lower at $10,000.
And their flexibility comes from their products?
Yeah, they offer some unique things. The main one is called the Valcambi Combi Bar.
The commie bar, what is that exactly?
They're pretty clever. It's a 50 grand gold bar that's pre-stamped, so it can be easily broken into 50 little 1 gram pieces.
Ah, so you don't have to sell a whole big bar at once.
Exactly. It gives you fractional liquidity. If you only need a couple $1,000 in cash, you can just break off a few grams and sell them, leaving the rest of your investment untouched. It offers a ton of practical flexibility.
That is a powerful feature. What are the cons with American Hartford Gold?
It's similar to GoldCo. They also don't publish their specific pricing online, so you have to call for a quote. And their product selection is a bit more limited. They have gold and silver, some platinum, but no palladium.
Okay, so once an investor picks a company, let's talk about funding the account. You mentioned rollovers. The sources said one method is way safer than the other.
By far. The safest is the direct rollover. This is where the money moves straight from your old 401k custodian to your new gold IRA custodian.
So the money never touches your hands?
Never. It's the simplest way, and it completely avoids any risk of taxes or penalties.
And the riskier way?
That's the indirect rollover. In this case, you actually receive the funds yourself. The huge risk here is you have to deposit that money into the new IRA within a very strict 60-day window.
60 days? That sounds tight.
It is. If you miss that deadline by even one day, the entire amount is treated as a taxable distribution. You could get hit with income taxes and a 10% early withdrawal penalty. It's just, yeah. It's not worth the risk for most people.
No kidding. The direct rollover is clearly the way to go. So fast forward a few decades. You're in retirement. You need cash. How does the buyback process work?
It's a very coordinated process. First, you contact your gold IRA company and ask for a quote to sell.
Okay.
Then the custodian steps in. They verify everything's compliant, and they arrange to transfer the physical metal from the depository to the dealer who's buying it.
So the physical asset moves, but the cash stays within the IRA.
Precisely. The proceeds from the sale are credited right back into your IRA account as cash. And companies like GoldCo and AHG, with their guaranteed buyback programs, they give you that extra peace of mind that there will always be a buyer.
So if we bring it all together, what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've covered the foundation, the difference between the custodian and the company, compliance.
I think the main takeaway from all this research is that the best company really depends on you. It depends on your capital, what kind of service you want. If you have the $50,000 minimum and you want that deep educational support, Augusta was the clear top choice for the researcher.
And if you don't?
If you don't, or if flexibility is more important, GoldCo and American Hartford Gold are very strong, compliant alternative. You just have to be prepared to get on the phone and do your due diligence comparing their fee quotes.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought, something for you to think about. The source material points out that these secure IRS-approved depositories, places like Brinks, the Delaware Depository, they're often located far away from major financial and political centers like New York or Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So if the experts, the people whose job it is to physically safeguard this wealth, are deliberately choosing locations outside of the traditional hubs of banking and government, what's the implicit message they're sending about the safety of that conventional financial infrastructure?
That is a question worth mulling over. Something to think about as you plan your own diversification strategy.